Welcome to the Playmakers Talk Show, where business owners, professionals, and entrepreneurs gather to discover playmaking ideas from world-famous CEOs, entrepreneurs, and business celebrities. You'll hear inspiring stories, playmaking ideas, and that one big thing that launched them on toward success. Get ready for the Playmakers Talk Show. Our host is Steve Klein, a renowned business author, keynote speaker, and master at helping clients reach peak performance through success skills, leadership, sales, and behavior change. He's helped generate quantum leaps for hundreds of companies. Now it's time to meet this week's Playmakers. Here's your host, Steve Klein.
Welcome to Playmakers Talk Show. I'm Steve Klein, and we have two Playmakers in the studio today. Our first is a CEO of a local IT company, while our other Playmaker wants to develop real-time data for electrical grids. In the studio today is a CEO of a company that focuses on e-commerce, while our other guest is a CEO that has developed optical-based sensors for medium voltage systems. These great Playmakers are Mike Willoughby. Mike is the CEO of PFS Web, and Stephen Prince. Stephen is the president and CEO of OptiSense Network. And we're going to begin today's show with Stephen Prince. He is the president and chief executive officer of OptiSense Network. Founded in 2001, OptiSense Network has developed the most accurate optical-based sensor solutions for medium voltage systems available today. They developed OptiSensors, which are highly accurate optical sensors that employ a patented crystal optic technology to ensure voltage and current on substation to end-user distribution lines. Stephen holds a master's in taxation with a specialization in risk management. He has more than 20 years of utility industry experience, including extensive international experience in Europe, Asia, and Latin America, which made him a leading champion for global automation of the 150-year-old electric distribution system. Stephen, welcome to Playmakers Talk Show.
Thank you for having me, Steve.
I'm glad to have you here. You know, I've watched a lot of sci-fi movies on TV, and some of them were the terrorists focus on destroying the electrical grids of power supplies to basically shut the country down. Two questions. Could this happen? And how does OptiSense recognize, or how could OptiSense recognize problems like that?
Well, unfortunately, it probably could happen. And it most certainly is my wish that it never does happen. But those grids are highly sensitive to the infrastructure that makes them up. And if you think about that, it's the transformers and the switchgear, reclosers, all that equipment you see in a substation, right down to the transformers you see on poles or maybe pad-mounted, and the wires that go from those substations to your house or to a business. And so it's possible, and it's most certainly something none of us want to see happen. The second question you asked is, how does our product, an OptiSensor, how could it detect that, or could it detect that? And the answer is absolutely yes. The sensors are essentially the eyes and the ears of the grid, and the nature of our technology allows us to see and listen better than any of the technology that's deployed today. They have unique attributes that allow us to hear and see things that aren't possible to see and hear today. And one of those things would be, at a very remedial level, is if somebody did something to disrupt the power flow across that grid. So the answer is yes.
Up until this point, how have power grids, how have they recognized any problems? Because obviously we've heard of the blackouts that have happened in big cities in the past. How do they recognize, or is it too late by the time it happens?
Well, so it's interesting. When you talk about a power grid, there's really three components to that grid. There's the power that gets produced at the head end of the system, and that power is produced by power plants. In the United States, they can be coal-fired, gas-fired, nuclear power plants. It can be wind now, or it can be hydro. Those are the sources of the power, and that power is transmitted via a transmission network. Then you have what we call medium voltage, which goes from the substation where the transmission network ends, and it goes down to the transformer outside a home or a business. And that middle section is what we call medium voltage. And then that last section of the three sections of a grid is really around your home or your business. And you hear a lot about that. When you think about smart grid, they're talking about smart meters and a smart home. So there's three components to a grid. And the reality is, when you're talking about the power production or the transmission, it's highly, highly, highly monitored. it's metered at a very, very high level of accuracy. And there's kind of been, that's where you see most of the problems and where you've heard those. The blackout in California had to do with transmission distribution. When you think about what happened in New York City or on the East Coast, that was a transmission issue and a problem. That portion of the grid has been highly modernized, is highly, highly measured and monitored. And so the likelihood of problems in that particular portion of the grid are relatively low. And then if you think about what happens between the transformer outside your home or your business and how the power gets to your home or the business, that's really a very safe and consistent environment. Where the issues reside now in this portion of the grid, from the substation to the transformer outside a home or business, that technology is 50 to 80 years old, not patented, and it's relatively unmonitored. So it's monitored at the substation, right where you have the transfer of power from transmission to distribution. But for the most part, the sensing and the monitoring that goes on for that last portion of the grid is relatively non-existent.
We were talking before the show started about how old the equipment is out there in North America, and it needs to be replaced. And OptiSense equipment is ready to go in there and change it. Is that correct?
That's correct. You know, there was a lot of buzz about smart grid and the investments that the Obama administration made in smart grid. And a majority of those investments, a high majority of those investments, were really made around individuals' homes and their businesses. And the idea was that if you measured activity, the usage of energy at a business or at a home, and you gave the consumer the right to choose when they use that power and how they use that power, that ultimately you would have a more economical, more efficient distribution of power. Essentially, what the administration was looking to do is shave peak load. So where we run into problems with the distribution network or the grid is when the demand for power exceeds the capacity to deliver it, produce it, and then deliver it to the end consumer. Those efforts went well. There's been a large implementation of smart meters. But at the end of the day, consumers haven't chosen to change their behavior. And it's entirely dependent upon behavior change. So what that's really caused is a refocus on how do we more efficiently distribute power across the grid and not ask a consumer to change their behavior. And that's really where OptiSense focuses. And that's where the next big spend is going to occur in the grid. It's going to be on the medium voltage distribution grid. And it's a way for the utilities to more efficiently distribute power without asking a consumer to change their behavior whatsoever.
And we were talking again at the break about a change in culture. And this sounds like it's a real challenge for you and your company to work with your clients to change the way they look at how they're handling this.
It is a challenge because it differs depending on the region you're in. So if we talk about the United States and Canada, a very mature system has the data technology because it's been around for so long. And frankly, we're long power in the United States and Canada. What do I mean when I say that? We have more than enough power to distribute to the end user. So utilities haven't had to worry about how efficiently they deliver that power. As long as the power gets to the end consumer, they can crank up those power plants, distribute it across the grid. The consumers are happy, the utility's happy, especially if they're operating at the high end of the operating range, because they actually bill you more for every ounce of power you use, meaning you can operate the equipment in your home or your business at a range, and they can distribute that power at the higher end of that range, and they actually bill more dollars. Now, don't think that that means that they're making more money, because that's not how it works in a vertically integrated utility. It just means it's easy for them to make sure that you're getting power and in a quality basis so that it doesn't disrupt your home or your business. But if you talk about other areas in the world, Latin America, China, India, or even Western Europe, those assumptions are no longer true. First of all, in Latin America, in Asia, they're not long power. They're short power. So people are starting to use electricity with more frequency and more intensity. Modernization is happening very rapidly in those areas. And so they actually have to deliver the power more efficiently. So they're looking to use the same conductor, the same equipment, and service more customers without having to put in more infrastructure. And then my last example would be Europe. In Western Europe, they made a decision a political decision to go with clean power, green power, renewable power. So, for example, in Germany, they're not using nuclear power anymore. And as a result, they've gone to a renewable power generation system. This creates a host of problems. First of all, it's very intermittent. So if it's sunny and it's windy, Germany can power their entire country on renewables. It's an amazing outcome. It's exciting, especially for people that really care about the environment and care about clean energy and clean air and all those things that are important to all of us. But what happens when it gets cloudy? What happens when the wind dies and it gets cloudy? All of a sudden, and power requirements are instantaneous. They have to come up with power to service all those customers. And that creates havoc on that grid. So we have huge demand, huge requirements, and they're looking to us. We're one of the only companies in the world that can do this for them. They have to retrofit, I emphasize retrofit, their distribution grid with a disruptive technology that they can do rapidly and effectively that'll allow them to make decisions, automated decisions across that grid so people continue to get power on a consistent basis. That's exciting for us.
Fascinating and exciting. We're speaking with Stephen Prince. Stephen is the president and CEO of OptiSense Network. We have more to talk to Stephen about, or for him to tell us about power grids and the OptiSensors. But you have to wait until we come back after this. This is Playmakers Talk Show. I'm Steve Klein. Stay with us. More to come.
A night of world-famous barbecue, live music, and fun is what you'll find Thursday, November 7th at the 12th Annual Boots and Bandanas Dinner Auction for Camp Summit at Eddie Dean's Ranch in downtown Dallas. Camp Summit is a not-for-profit sleepaway camp for both children and adults with special needs. Since over 90% of the campers need financial assistance, Boots and Bandanas helps pay for campers with disabilities to attend camp each summer. Camp Summit is located in Argyle, Texas, and serves campers from ages 6 to 99. They offer a variety of traditional camp activities at a facility that allows for a camper in a wheelchair to ride on a zip line and a camper with autism to ride a horse. So November 7th, come out and support an organization that has helped special needs campers since 1947. Support Camp Summit at the 12th Annual Boots and Bandanas Dinner Auction at Eddie Dean's Ranch. Visit campsummittx.org or call Byron at 972-484-8900 for more information. That's campsummittx.org or call 972-484-8900.
The very best time to buy lakefront land is at the end of the summer boating season, and Texas Land and Lakes has 5 prime dockable lots to sell. Come see why Moonlight Point is selling out in weeks, not months or years. Price, location, physical beauty, outstanding views, and they are dockable. Learn more, take a virtual tour at moonlightpoint.com. Only 5 of 26 remain, and they are being offered at can't say no prices. Own a lakefront dockable lot for $99,000, about half of prime market value. Or if money is not an issue, but having the finest lakefront lot in Texas sounds good, own our 5-acre point lot with 1,500 feet of bold lakefrontage. Take a virtual tour at moonlightpoint.com and then call for an early appointment. 877-BIG-VIEW, 877-BIG-VIEW, numerically 877-244-8439, or online at moonlightpoint.com. Learn more, take a virtual tour at moonlightpoint.com.
I'm Jill Kumnock, CEO of the Ronald McDonald House of Dallas, which is the house that love built. Your support helps provide a home away from home for the families of seriously ill or injured children who come to Dallas area hospitals for medical treatment. Your gift, regardless of the amount, supports RMHD families so that they can focus on what really matters, their child's healing. That's why at Ronald McDonald House we say, there is strength in numbers and it starts with you. For more information, visit rmhdallas.org.
I'm Lars David Staber, General Manager for Lowry's The Prime Rib. Our Allen's Sandwich Bar has become the go-to spot for quiet working lunches. There we offer hand-carved sandwiches and more in a relaxed, club-like atmosphere. And for meetings, Lowry's private rooms are available for both lunch and dinner. So join us for the award-winning food, distinctive style, and unmatched hospitality that has made Lowry's famous. For more information, call Lowry's at 972-503-6688.
We're back with the Playmakers Talk Show for business owners and self-employed professionals. Once again, here's Steve Klein.
And welcome back to Playmakers Talk Show. We are speaking with Stephen Prince. Stephen is the CEO and the president of OptiSense Network, and you can check their company out at optisense.net, OptiSense.net, to find out more about specifically what Stephen's been talking about. But you've been in one of the reasons that I wanted you on the show is because I saw in the Dallas Business Journal that you received the 2013 Tech Titans Emerging Company Innovation Award a few months ago. So congratulations for that.
Well, thank you very much. That was a real honor. And I wasn't prepared for the magnitude of winning that award from the ceremony to what's happened since. It's been wonderful.
But you've only been in Plano for a year, and the company started in Bridgeport with just an idea. Is that correct?
Yeah, it's an interesting story. The company's been out in Bridgeport since 2001. It was a lifestyle company, to be honest with you. A couple individuals that had a great idea, saw a great market opportunity, and really wanted to grow that business and have that business in a rural western Texas town. And that was a lifestyle decision. The company got taken over in 2010, October of 2010. And I was recruited to become the CEO. And so that was an interesting dilemma for me, being a resident of Frisco, you know, North Dallas, and having an extensive technology background. I was trying to figure out what we were doing in Bridgeport and how we were going to grow a global business from Bridgeport. Wonderful town, wonderful people, but frankly, really starved for the engineering and technical talent that we needed. So it's been an interesting journey. We ended up in Plano. In the fall of 2012, we were ecstatic to be in Plano. It's a perfect location for us, and we most certainly have seen our business soar since getting to Plano.
Well, you're something like, as I read, 35,000 square feet, 60 employees, so it sounds like you've grown a little bit since you've moved here.
Yes, we have. The appeal of Plano is that it's part of the buckle of the telecom belt, okay, and from a technology and an innovation perspective. Richardson and Plano house some of the smartest and the best engineering research and development talent in North America for telecom. And so we deliberately chose Plano. We looked at multiple cities, and Plano was very, very responsive to our needs and gave us some support and some subsidy. But we really moved there for the talent, the people, the workforce that we needed around our fiber optic technology. And it's been nothing but positive. Exceeded all my expectations.
So you've been with the company just a short time. Where is the company going? What are the future ventures that you have upcoming, and where are you taking OptiSense?
So that's a great question. When I joined the company, there was a concept, an idea. They were focused on the right market, the right opportunity, and they had some great ideas around technology. What we've done over the last 3 years, and I'll kind of frame that as the foundation, is we took those ideas and we commercialized them. So I reconstructed the entire team, recruited five very, very talented executives to work with me on this project. And as you said, we're up to 60 employees. That effort was really to take those ideas, commercialize them, and really prove them out predominantly in the United States and Canada. And the reason for that is those are markets that are mature. They're markets that me and my team understand very, very well, right down to the customer level. And we've done that. So we have 32 customers today. A majority of those customers, all but eight of them, are based in the United States and Canada, and they're large, major utility companies. And they're in the process of leveraging our technology in their environments. All but two of them are at a field trial stage in North America. And we're looking to move those customers from field trials, which is a very common approach and method that's used in the utility business, to what we would consider initial adoption. So OptiSense, when you ask the question, what's next for us, is we're moving from I'm going to call it regional, even though it's North America, to a global company. We have eight customers outside of the United States, major customers, and we're globalizing the technology that we have, and we're extending it to all portions of the globe. By way of example, this morning at 7 o'clock in the morning, I was on the phone with a major, major organization in Germany. And we were talking about how we take our technology And rather than deploying it in the form that it exists today, embedding it into other equipment so that they can address those very needs that we were talking about in Germany.
Well, it sounds like you're on the cusp of this all taking off, and I can see why you're so excited and, as you said, passionate about this industry. Sounds like you're moving in the right direction. Well, one of the things that I find when I'm working with companies, especially when they're growing, are obstacles. Now, one of the obstacles we talked about already is simply changing the culture with some of the companies you're working with. But any other obstacles that you're dealing with as you're growing OptiSense Network?
Sure. The nature of the technology, there's multiple phases when you commercialize a product. And so some of those obstacles were technical. The use of fiber optics, crystals, the way we basically put a crystal assembly around an electronic field and a magnetic field in two separate locations in our device. And the polarization of the light that goes through those crystals gives us highly, highly accurate and sensitive measurements of current, voltage, and phase angle. And when I say that, it sounds relatively simple. The reality is you can produce a device that does that in an engineering lab, and then the next test is, but can you produce thousands of those every month? And can you do it economically? So from a technical standpoint, there was a huge challenge. How do I produce a device that has these unique attributes? Totally disruptive. We're talking about a device that weighs 13 pounds to do this on a 46 kV line, where traditional technology weighs a combination of 3,000 pounds and has to sit on the ground. So this is a big, big change in the way you go about doing this. And the ability to do that and produce it at an economic value to the utility became a significant challenge. So we invented robots and produced robots that allow us to align the crystals and the fiber connectors that occur in this device. That was essential. If we could not do that, we had people trying to assemble these and align these, and they would do one an hour. That's just not economically feasible. Even if the math worked from a financial standpoint, you couldn't produce enough of the product to deliver to all these customers that have this demand. This is a $139 billion market opportunity for our company. So we used automation to solve that problem. And then, as you said before, we had a cultural workforce issue that was not immaterial. So we've managed to tap into the talent that exists in the Plano-Richardson area, optical technicians that used to work in the telecom industry that lost their jobs. And, it's kind of a sad story and a great story, a great opportunity. We've managed to take about 20 individuals that were out of work in a field that they loved and made a middle-class living doing, and we've converted them to the smart grid, the energy business. And they're now doing that for us. And I couldn't be more thrilled with these employees. The yields that we're deriving, our yields went up 300% when we moved to Plano, because we were dealing with a workforce that understood our technology and understood how to deliver it in this clean room, high-tech environment. And they're great employees. They're very committed to the company. And we now have the ability to scale.
Sounds like you are moving in the right direction. Last 30 seconds or so, because we are running out of time, is let's talk about your advice to the listeners. If they want to become a playmaker, somebody that makes things happen, what advice would you give them just in about 30 seconds?
What I would really focus on and emphasize is if you're going to lead an organization to do the kind of things that we're doing, you have to passionately believe in what you're doing and your offering. This is a lot of work. It's not a job. This is not a lifestyle. This is a serious, serious effort. And if you don't have that passion and you don't believe in what you're creating and the people you're working with, then you have a much lower probability of succeeding. And then my second point would be, you really have to understand all the constituents in your business. And there's a tendency to focus on investors, or there's a tendency to focus on customers. But what you really have to do is you have to balance the investor with the customer and your third constituents, which are your employees. And when you bring those three together and you can communicate properly with them and you can drive that passion and that belief, then things really happen for you and your company. And I'm fortunate to have been able to bring those three constituencies together successfully for OptiSense. And I am very, very thankful for my investors, for my employees, and my customers.
Stephen, thank you very much for being a guest on Playmakers Talk Show.
Thank you for having me, Steve. This is really great.
Stephen Prince, President and CEO of OptiSense Network, OptiSense.net. Stay with us. We have more. We're going to speak with Mike Willoughby. Mike is the Chief Executive Officer of PFS Web. More to come right after this.
Their names are Adrian and Anna, Cameron and Colin, Jacob and Logan, Margaret and Olivia, ages 4 to 12. They are part of a very small, exclusive club that neither they nor their families want to belong. They have all been diagnosed with some form of pediatric cancer. In fact, every year, right here in Dallas-Fort Worth, hundreds of families hear the dreaded words, "Your child has cancer," which is why Wipe Out Kids Cancer was formed over 30 years ago. Our mission is simple: to work relentlessly for the day when all children are living cancer-free. You can help by visiting WOKC.org. We are a local organization helping families cope and supporting researchers to find cures. Learn more at WOKC.org. Help us help them.
Do you suffer from thin skin that bruises or tears easily? Advanced Bruise Prevention Formula by Skin Renew can help. Skin Renew rebuilds thin skin and stops skin bruising by turning on your skin's natural ability to repair itself. Advanced Bruise Prevention Formula was specially created by a doctor of pharmacy to help a dear friend whose thin skin was tearing and bruising. Her improvement was so dramatic that this amazingly effective formula is now available to you. Visit SkinRenew.com now. That's SKINRENU.com. Visit now and get a free shipping offer. Advanced Bruise Prevention Formula is satisfaction guaranteed to make your skin stronger, healthier, and less likely to bruise or tear. Or Skin Renew will refund 100% of your purchase. Visit SkinRenew.com now for more information on how to make your thin, easy to bruise and tear skin stronger and healthier. SkinRenew.com. Satisfaction is guaranteed.
Executives and managers, if you would like to make 2013 your quantum leap year, listen closely, because a free workshop, that's right, a free two-hour peak performance in-house workshop is available right now. Hi, I'm Steve Klein, host of the Playmakers Talk Show here on 570 KLIF, author of Sell When You See the Whites of Their Eyes, and CEO of the Professional Development Center. Which of the following skills from this free peak performance workshop will move your people toward a quantum leap this year? Could it be communication skills, motivating people, strategic planning, decision-making or problem-solving? How about teamwork, stress management, coaching, leadership skills, or customer service? To get your free two-hour in-house peak performance workshop for a minimum of eight key people and to give your business a quantum leap in 2013, call me, Steve Klein, at 972-644-1048. That's 972-644-1048 right now to see if you qualify.
We're back with the Playmakers Talk Show for business owners and self-employed professionals. Once again, here's Steve Klein.
And welcome back to Playmakers Talk Show. I am Steve Klein. Our second playmaker is Mike Willoughby. Mike serves as the Chief Executive Officer of PFS Web. Prior to that promotion, Mike served as the company's President and Chief Information Officer. He's been instrumental in the acquisition, development, integration, and support of PFS Web's world-class technologies, and he continues to have a key role in the architecture of the company's solution and service offerings. Mike is leading the company's effort to bring PFS Web's e-commerce solution to market, as he also led the effort to conceptualize and bring to market PFS Web's end-to-end e-commerce solution in 2008. In addition to his executive leadership experience at PFS Web, Mike founded and served as president and CEO of Design Technologies, and he founded and served as president and CEO of Integration Services. Mike, welcome to Playmakers Talk Show.
Thank you, Steve. Thank you for having me on the show.
Well, thank you for being here. In your bio, it said you majored in IT at Abilene Christian University. Why did you get into information technology from the very beginning?
Well, it's an interesting question. So I actually went to Abilene Christian University to be a preacher, and I spent the first year and a half there trying to do that, and I found that I was actually a lot better technologist than I was a preacher. And so the affinity that I had for technology and kind of the understanding that I had about what it takes to actually make it work practically, I ended up using that to put myself through college, and it became natural for me. Interestingly, though, I have found that those skills I was developing in that first year and a half have come in handy. I've spent a lot of time in our sales and marketing area of the business, and the ability to deliver a message and to convince an audience and to win them over to your side, those skills are valuable in both the business world and in the world of theology. So a bit of a winding path and an interesting journey, but I found that those experiences have all come together to equip me to be successful in what I'm doing today.
Well, staying on theology just for just a moment in terms of how you present to your audience, so to speak, I think you'll agree that what you're doing right now and what you were learning at Abilene Christian was really sales, because you're selling somebody on ideas, and to a large degree, that's what you're doing right now.
Yeah, you're exactly right. And I suppose that when you use the word sales, some people think of that as a sort of a superficial term. The reality is that we're winning mindshare. And whether the audience is a prospective client and we're talking about the things that we can do to help them be successful in this world of e-commerce, or whether it's an employee that we would really like to have come join our team and work for us and talk about the things that we do to make a difference in the world, in our community, and with our technology, or whether it's the investor audience and talking to them about why they should be interested in participating in this story that we have. Either way, you're winning mindshare. And I think you have to be passionate about your subject, and you have to be educated about what you do and what you do really well. But if you aren't genuine and you aren't a true believer, I don't think you're going to be successful in this sales area that we're talking about.
Well, doing a little research on your company, on your website, which is pfsweb.com, the company started in 1994 as Priority Fulfillment Services. But tell us about some of the services you have right now. I mentioned one before, which was e-commerce technology. But what do you focus on as a company?
So when we first got into this business, it was really to help clients with their fulfillment and customer care needs. And that was kind of the niche that we were in. As we saw this e-commerce area really start to boom in the late 90s, we realized that there were a lot more components to this than just fulfillment and customer care. So we started to build out our technology ecosystem. You mentioned the end-to-end e-commerce solution. We really became committed to the technology part of it in the mid part of the last decade, around 2005, 2006. And what we've come to realize is that the technology and the professional services side of our business is what our clients value the most. It's really where we can really differentiate what we do the most. And so we really set a course to build out a world-class set of technologies around the e-commerce platform that our clients use to sell their product, a whole host of marketing technologies to generate demand to the website, order management, payment processing. What we now offer is a complete ecosystem so that a client comes to us and receives a one-stop shop. They receive all of the components in what can be a very complicated technology solution from one provider who's taking responsibility for that, taking operational stewardship of running that program for them, and relieving them of the need to make their own capital investments and their own R&D investments and the maintenance that goes with maintaining a very complicated solution. We do all that for them and enable them to really act through us. We're empowering them to take their brand into that e-commerce world, sell to their customers, concentrate on manufacturing world-class products and doing all the sort of marketing, advertising kind of work. We take care of all the nitty-gritty details that go with what can be a really complicated technology solution.
Well, I was looking at on your website, on your integrated services, one of them include, which really caught my eye, high-touch customer care. What do you mean by that?
So it's interesting in this electronic world where a lot of people interact with a website through chat, sessions, and they may do research on their own and investigate the products through their website. Many times you might think that the traditional customer service component is a diminishing component or is no longer required. But the reality is, especially with the clients that we serve, that human touch is still very important. And in fact, if you're involved in a chat session, you're interacting with a human being on the other side. So whether you're picking up the phone to call and ask a question about the product that you're looking at or ask for help placing an order, or getting information about the order that you've already placed, whatever the customer service need that you have, we're going to connect you with an agent on the other end of the phone or chat session that is equipped with knowledge about that product, knows our client's culture inside and out, is ready to represent the brand, and is ready to help that consumer with whatever issue that they have. So we have a practice and an expertise around, you know, representing that brand through that human touch and supporting our clients in that way. Interestingly enough, we put our call center, our largest call center in downtown Dallas in the Renaissance Tower, which is probably an unusual place for a call center. You usually think about old Walmart buildings as being the place where call centers are put up. But we wanted to make sure our agents were in a professional environment. Downtown Dallas is a great place to be. It's well served by the DART line that goes right by the office, and so our agents have good mass transit capabilities. They can live anywhere in the Metroplex, effectively get in to work. And they are working in a professional environment, surrounded by the brand, in a position to feel really good about, you know, the job that they're doing and the help that they provide to our clients. So it's a really important part of what we do.
You've taken what a lot of people look at as low tech, being in the or low touch rather, being in the on the internet when there's not a lot of human involvement, to that high touch, which you normally don't see on many websites. I'm looking at your website right now, and again, it's pfsweb.com, and flashing across the screen are a number of companies you work with, and I'm looking at some of them right now. I'd say about 80 or 90%, Gerber, Elizabeth Arden I'm looking at right now, TJ Maxx, Lego, L'Oreal. It sounds like you're dealing with the creme de la creme of companies out there as you're working with their sites. Apparently, what you've done is develop such a good model that they are they coming to you now as a result of that?
Absolutely. I appreciate your insight in recognizing the value of those brands. They are very high-end, in some cases, iconic brands. And for them, the most important thing is representing that brand in that interaction with their customer. And yet you support a company like a Chanel, who is used to a premier boutique experience, and they want that boutique experience to be carried into the online world, which is a difficult thing. You know, the online world tends to be a sterile, electronic kind of a place. Chanel wants to make sure that that experience is boutique caliber. So, you know, we are making sure that we're making investments not only in the technology, but in how we service the customer with our call centers and even in the fulfillment centers that we operate. If you order your Chanel product and you want it gift wrapped, we're going to gift wrap it in that fulfillment center, and you're going to have it delivered, you know, in a UPS box. And when you open that box, you're going to be delighted by the experience because it's going to be boutique caliber. And there's some real challenges in being able to do that, you know, in a large distribution center and dealing with, you know, kind of a traditional transportation network. But brands come to us, and we have a reputation in our industry now for the specific purpose of having us help them execute that online strategy just the way they would do it themselves if they were going to make these investments and they were going to operate themselves. So in that way, we become really an outsourced department or division of that company and look to interact with them both culturally and operationally as an integrated part of everything that they're doing and sort of seamlessly across the other channels that they operate, make sure that we're doing that in a way that is world-class.
And that's what came to mind as I was listening to you, that you almost become a piece of that company or brand that you're working with. I want to discuss that a little more detail and talk a little bit about the PFS Web brand too. We're speaking with Mike Willoughby. He's a chief executive officer of PSF Web. Stay with us. We're going to talk more about e-commerce and how PFS Web is working with the clients right after this.
A night of world-famous barbecue, live music, and fun is what you'll find Thursday, November 7th at the 12th Annual Boots and Bandanas Dinner Auction for Camp Summit at Eddie Dean's Ranch in downtown Dallas. Camp Summit is a not-for-profit sleepaway camp for both children and adults with special needs. Since over 90% of the campers need financial assistance, Boots and Bandanas helps pay for campers with disabilities to attend camp each summer. Camp Summit is located in Argyle, Texas, and serves campers from ages 6 to 99. They offer a variety of traditional camp activities at a facility that allows for a camper in a wheelchair to ride on a zip line and a camper with autism to ride a horse. So November 7th, come out and support an organization that has helped special needs campers since 1947. Support Camp Summit at the 12th Annual Boots and Bandanas Dinner Auction at Eddie Dean's Ranch. Visit campsummittx.org or call Byron at 972-484-8900. 800 for more information. That's campsummittx.org or call 972-484-8900.
Hi, I'm Dave Williams with Amy Chadra from KLIF News and Information in the Morning.
And when you hear our top of the hour station ID, you'll hear a reference to 96.3 FM HD2. So what is that? Well, it's a new way to listen to KLIF.
We're still on our longtime home on 570 AM, of course, but chances are, if you bought a new car the last couple of years, you can also listen to KLIF on FM.
Over 150 new vehicle models are on the market today with HD radios. And if you listen to KLIF on 96.3 FM HD2, guess what? You're going to hear us in crystal clear FM fidelity.
How do I do that? Go to 96.3 FM. That's our sister station, KSCS. Look for that little symbol that says HD to light up, and then just scroll up to HD2, and there we are.
You'll hear news and information 570 AM coming through loud and clear on your FM radio.
Let us know what you think.
News and information 570 AM, 96.3 FM, HD2, KLIF.
I'm Jill Cumnock, CEO of the Ronald McDonald House of Dallas, which is the house that love built. Your support helps provide a home away from home for the families of seriously ill or injured children who come to Dallas area hospitals for medical treatment. Your gift, regardless of the amount, supports RMHD families so that they can focus on what really matters, their child's healing. That's why at Ronald McDonald House, we say there is strength in numbers and it starts with you. For more information, visit rmhdallas.org.
I'm Lars David Staberg, General Manager for Lowry's The Prime Rib. Our Allen Sandwich Bar has become the go-to spot for quiet working lunches. There we offer hand-carved sandwiches and more in a relaxed, club-like atmosphere. And for meetings, Lowry's private rooms are available for both lunch and dinner. So join us for the award-winning food, distinctive style, and unmatched hospitality that has made Lowry's famous. For more information, call Lowry's at 972-503-6688.
We're back with the Playmakers Talk Show for business owners and self-employed professionals. Once again, here's Steve Klein.
We are speaking with Mike Willoughby. Mike is the Chief Executive Officer of PFS Web. Their website is pfsweb.com. And many individuals out there would recognize your logo, Mike, but probably even more of your clients recognize your logo. And I looked at it, and it's an interesting logo that's recognizable. Tell us about the logo and how that came to be specifically as it is.
Right. So we talked before about the notion that we're helping our clients with their branding, and it's really not about us. And so when we really wanted to look for a visual icon that would make that statement, we chose a chameleon. Chameleon changes its colors to match its background, and we are, in fact, the brand behind the brand. And our objective is to represent our clients precisely in the marketplace and not really have us be intrusive in that process. So if you look at the way we operate an e-commerce solution for our clients, you know, we're very much transparent in the process. Our objective is that a customer of our clients would never know that any of the solution is outsourced and that there's a third party involved in supporting them. We want them to believe that they're interacting directly with the brand and that they're having a world-class experience in doing so.
I'm looking at staying on your website right now. It's I think it said join the team behind the brand, I think is what it said a few moments ago. And there's also one of the things I recognized on there was the Clearsonic, which is a new product that's out now, and you're working with them on that too. You also mentioned during the break that there aren't very many companies that do what you do, and this is not just limited to the United States or North America. Tell us how far you do reach.
So we are a global company, and when you talk about the e-commerce marketplaces around the world, there's really sort of two categories. One is mature e-commerce marketplaces like the U.S. and Western Europe, and there is these emerging markets. And one of the most exciting emerging markets is in China, which is emerging rapidly and actually maturing before our very eyes. And with such a large population and a rising middle class, many of the Western brands that we're supporting are seeing that now is the time to take advantage of that activity that's going on in China. So we are taking this opportunity to expand our existing solution into China with a partnership that we struck earlier this year with a company called Transcosmos. They already have infrastructure in China, warehouses and call centers that we can leverage. We'll use the rest of our technology and professional services on top of that infrastructure to onboard our clients in China beginning next year. The old maxim about thinking globally while you act locally is very important in e-commerce, because the way that you support a customer in China versus one of the countries in Western Europe, you can't think of Western Europe as a single area. There's multiple countries versus how you support a customer in China, in the U.S. is different. The cultural expectation is different. The way you shop, the payment types that you expect, there's differences that are important. So our objective is to make sure that we're supporting our clients with a common infrastructure that gives them leverage and economies of scale, but at the same time to have an experience that is precisely localized for each of the areas in which we're supporting our clients today.
So you have specific or will have specific call centers in these various countries, including different countries in Western Europe and in China.
Absolutely. It's very important for our clients that when a customer calls in or interacts with an agent via chat session, that that cultural experience is native and that the person that they're talking to not only speaks their language, but understands the way in which customers in that area shop and what's important in the way that you interact with them culturally. So we believe it's important for our customer care agents to be embedded in the geography that they're serving.
As you talk about your company, you talk about what you're doing for your clients, you're also giving back to the community also, and that's also on your website. I noticed three different areas of community involvement. How big or how much a part of your company is involved with giving back to nonprofits?
Well, I'm really glad you asked the question, Steve. We 2 years ago, the leadership team sat down and looked at what our vision and our values were for the company, and we recognized that we had an aspiration to make an impact on our community. But honestly, it was a little more aspirational than what we would have liked. So we really wanted to become very intentional about having an impact in our community. So we sponsored several formal charities and great activities in our community, including the Corporate Challenge, which is a sort of mini Olympics that corporations participate in, and all the proceeds go to charitable organizations in our area. We support the Allen Community Outreach within our community to help with that. And an interesting program that we launched this year we call SPARK, which stands for Sparking Acts of Random Kindness in the Community. We actually fund our employees to go out into the community and spend that money in whatever way they choose, and then document that and come back and share within our company meetings what a difference that they've made in their community. And even though the dollars aren't significant, I've been amazed and pleased at how creative our employee teams have gotten in going out and actually making a difference in the lives of people by stuffing backpacks full of school supplies and sharing them with kids, having a night in a park where in a low-income area in McKinney, kids can come out and play football and have popsicles and just have a great night with our employees. And I know that our employees are receiving much more than they're giving in that simple program.
And realize what SPARK stood for, S-P-A-R-K, Sparking Acts of Random Kindness, which is, I had not heard of that before. Now, do your employees find something, bring it to the company to check to make sure that is something that's okay, and then you develop a budget to work on that program?
In this particular program, we are letting our employees be creative and empowering them to make those decisions on their own. So there's no committee, no bureaucracy. It's here's some funds, go make a difference, come back and tell us, about that and share. And I believe that it's a program that has not only gone viral within our company that's generating a lot of excitement. I'd like to see a program like that go viral in our community. It's amazing when you put some tools in the hands of individuals and you challenge them to go make a difference, what kind of difference they can really make.
Well, you're obviously very passionate about what you do. Your business is also based on customer service, taking care of those customers. What would you say is the most important thing that a business should do to find, retain, and work with their clients?
Mm-hmm. Well, I think one of the most fundamental values you can have as an entrepreneur and as a company is to really only do things that you can do with excellence. And I think that is in attracting talent. It's surrounding yourself with the best talent, including people that are they're better than you, and don't be afraid to do that. And to focus on majoring in those things where you can be the very best. Otherwise, I think you dilute your brand, both personally and as a corporation. In the end, the focus that comes from focusing on excellence, I think, has huge benefits.
You're talking about branding. Again, you're working on helping develop the brand for your client. You obviously are developing your brand in PFS Web. But coming back to Spark, you're also helping those individuals develop their brand too, because part of what they do is part of their brand.
That's absolutely true. And especially with this particular generation of millennials that's coming out that has a passion for making a difference in the world, simply hooking them up with an opportunity to do that, I think we find that exciting. And I think that some of the young people coming in to work for us also find that very exciting.
Mike, thank you very much for being a part of Playmakers Talk Show.
Thank you, Steve.
Mike Willoughby, CEO of PFS Web. And in the previous segment, we had Stephen Prince, President and CEO of OptiSense Network. My name is Steve Klein. This is Playmakers Talk Show. Please join us again next week and go to PlaymakersTalkShow.com to check out the next week's guests, all the information about our current guests, and check the show archive to listen to past shows. And we'll see you again next week.
Their names are Adrian and Anna, Cameron and Colin, Jacob and Logan, Margaret and Olivia, ages 4 to 12. They are part of a very small, exclusive club that neither they nor their families want to belong. They have all been diagnosed with some form of pediatric cancer. In fact, every year, right here in Dallas-Fort Worth, hundreds of families hear the dreaded words, "Your child has cancer." Which is why Wipe Out Kids Cancer was formed over 30 years ago. Our mission is simple: to work relentlessly for the day when all children are living cancer-free. You can help by visiting WOKC.org. We are a local organization helping families cope and supporting researchers to find cures. Learn more at WOKC.org. Help us help them.
If you're a responsible homeowner who's faithfully made your mortgage payments, you deserve thanks for doing the right thing. And I'd like to tell you about a powerful financial tool that rewards your responsibility. Hi, I'm Jay Farner, president of Quicken Loans, and the tool that I'm talking about is the Home Affordable Refinance Program, or HARP. HARP is designed to help you lower your mortgage payments. It's for responsible homeowners who are current on their payments, but due to the housing market, may have little or no equity left in their home. And even if you were unable to get a HARP loan in the past, new guidelines mean that now you may be eligible. Over 2.5 million homeowners have already taken advantage of HARP and are saving an average of $250 a month. If you're one of the millions yet to take advantage, call us today at 800-QUICKEN. To learn more, call Quicken Loans today at 800-QUICKEN or go to quickenloans.com. That number again is 800-QUICKEN.
Important terms and conditions apply. Call us for cost information. Equal housing lender. Licensed in all 50 states. NMLS number 3030.
KLIF News and Information, still at 570 AM.
And also at 96.3 FM HD2.
Executives and managers, if you would like to make 2013 your quantum leap year, listen closely, because a free workshop, that's right, a free two-hour peak performance in-house workshop is available right now. Hi, I'm Steve Klein, host of the Playmakers Talk Show here on 570 KLIF, author of Sell When You See the Whites of Their Eyes, and CEO of the Professional Development Center. Which of the following skills from this free peak performance workshop will move your people toward a quantum leap this year? Could it be communication skills, motivating people, strategic planning, decision-making or problem-solving? How about teamwork, stress management, coaching, leadership skills, or customer service? To get your free two-hour in-house peak performance workshop for a minimum of 8 key people and to give your business a quantum leap in 2013, call me, Steve Klein, at 972-644-1048. That's 972-644-1048 right now to see if you qualify.
News changes in an instant. So does our news coverage. News and Information, 570 AM, 96.3 FM, HD2, KLIF.
News and Information, 570 AM,
96.3 FM, HD2, KLIF, Dallas, KSCS, FM, HD2, Fort Worth, KLIF.com.
A Cumulus station.